All right, that was just the first blast because I have like a whole bag of candy. So, look, for the next couple minutes, protect your eyes and your face because I may be throwing random things. All right, so how many of you guys went to the Scaravan part of it?
I did.
Did you go?
I did.
Some of you I did not see there. And you're raising your hand. Watch out. Watch your eyes. Oh, yeah. I miss the girls? How could I miss the girls? Oh, wow. I can see this was a bad, bad idea. Okay. Here you go. Now, listen, the first one's free, okay? First one's free. The rest you're going to have to work for a little bit. Still get a whole bag. So I planned this out because I knew the first couple of throws would make you wild and nuts and crazy, so I saved some to reel you back in. What? No. $2,000. I could do that. So here's how I'm going to give the rest of this entire bag away, because you can see there's a lot. Hey, look up here. Can you see this? Look how much candy's left. It's like the good stuff, because all the good stuff always falls to the bottom. That's like the best stuff, okay? This whole bag is going to go to the best behaved person. Why I'm going to fall. The best behaved person tonight. All right, so I'm going to ask Tate. Tate, are you going to help me tonight? Tate is going to be looking.
I love you.
And Brandy.
What?
Yes. You and Tate are going to, you're going to watch that side, you're going to watch that side, and you're going to vote on one person at the end of the night who's the quietest, best behaved, and most attentive. That worked quick. Yes, I love this. All right, so that bag's staying there, and that's going to be somebody's. Next year, you guys should go to Scaravan and Fall Festival because it was awesome, and we had a blast and got lots of candy. So go with us next time if you can. Who knows what we've been studying tonight? Well, not tonight because we haven't started yet, right? This so far, yeah.
The family plan.
The family plan. Perfect. And we call it family plan because family, friends, relationships, right? What have we learned so far? What's the very most important thing that we can base all of our relationships on? Right there in the back. Absolutely. Awesome. God, He's the foundation of all our relationships. And God loves us so much that He gave us something to help us figure out what these relationships are all about. A little manual. What was that whole thing about that we studied? That was the second week. What was this manual that He gave us to figure this thing out? The Bible. You know what? I'm going to steal out of whoever wins this bag because you are phenomenal. There you go. There you go. A little candy for you. All right. So let's see. We started to study about family. And who remembers something that we talked about when we talked about the family? What is your responsibility in the family? Yeah, it's your responsibility to take care of your family. What else? Anything else? Justin? Obedience? Yeah, those were the two biggies, right? What else? Awesome. Yes.
Honor them?
Yes, absolutely.
Love them
was the key. We kept saying you got to really love them. Yeah.
Respect.
Was that yours? Cool. Ditto. All right, sweet. You're waiting for that next question. Good job. You got another one? Obey them was one. You're right. Bingo. Awesome. To put them before yourself. Good job. All right. She's waiting. She knows she deserves it. She knows she deserves it. Okay. I'll throw gentle. You caught that one though. That was good. All right. Then listen, last week, Matt Denyer came and he visited, right? And Matt was, like he's not always here anyway. He was here, but he preached last week. He taught us on a certain topic. Do you remember what topic Matt talked on last week? Groups of friends. And what about these groups of friends? Emmy? Oh, all right. Yeah, like the people you hang out with. Samaya, did you have something different than that? Picking them, right? Yeah.
Influences.
Influences. Ethan? Yeah. What did we say about ourselves and our responsibility in that whole deal? Like you hang out with people. If they're not the right people, they influence you bad. Well, what about us then? Yeah, we should be a good influence on our friends and not be the bad influence that we're talking about. So not only do you need to choose friends wisely, but you need to be a good friend. Be someone who someone could come and choose wisely by being your friend. So this week we're still talking about friends. And open your Bibles. We're going to look first at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, verse 10. And as we look at friends, if you guys have always heard that expression or have heard it before, hey, y'all watch this, right? You know what I'm talking about? When somebody's like about to do something really, really dumb or really, really crazy and they want all their friends to see it and they're like, hey, y'all watch this. Never heard that? And then all of a sudden, what happens usually afterwards? Yeah, horrible hilarity. Like if you just Google that, you probably don't want to, but you might find, with your parents' permission, a whole bunch of crazy videos of people just like falling and plummeting and bad things happening because they're like, hey, y'all watch this. And they thought it was a great idea. And a lot of them, listen, a lot of them, their friends were like, hey, dude, you should try this. It's awesome. And they're like, no, I'm not dumb. I'm not going to try that. And they're like, yeah, it's so great. Try it. And they're like, no, I'm not going to try that. And then finally, somehow they give in. And so they're up there like, hey, y'all watch this. Next thing, bam, like it hits them, right? And it's like, there it is. You shouldn't have done it. Those famous last words. Because sometimes we give into something. What do we call that? What did I just describe? Irony. We have some really, really smart people, much smarter than myself in here. What? Peer pressure. Thank you. That's what I was going for. Peer pressure. Now, here's the deal. When I was a little kid, I was probably actually in junior high. Maybe I was in sixth grade, something like that. But I was over at my buddy's house, and they were like those influences that were always the crazy, wild, like kind of country boy, like they did like crazy stuff. I didn't want to say it, but yeah. And, I was like the goody-goody guy who was always like, you guys shouldn't do that. And like, I was like, we shouldn't be doing this. We need to go home. Like, our moms are going to know. I was that guy. Like, I just was not the most daredevil type kid when I was that age. But my friends were. So they were always getting me to do dumb things. So I was over at his house, my buddy's house. There was like maybe four of us over there. And they would do these dumb like tricks, like before parkour was actually like a thing. Like we did our own parkour. We didn't even know we were doing it because it didn't exist then. And so we would like run, at least they would, and they would try to like run up the wall and like fall back over and do these crazy things inside their house, like in their house. So they thought it was awesome. They'd try it on different things. And their parents weren't home. Obviously, their parents wouldn't want us doing that, right? So there it comes. Hey, Rob, try it. Like, no, guys, we shouldn't do that. You know, I'm like, no, let's not do this. It's wrong. And your mom wouldn't want us doing this. We'll get caught. And he's like, no, they're not even here. It's just like, just do it quick. They're not even going to be home for a while. So finally, after the banter, eventually I gave in. I'm not very coordinated. You all know this. I try. I run. There I go. I finally give in to them. And there is my friend. Hey, I'll watch this. And I run up, hit the wall. My foot sinks straight into the wall. Like straight in. Well, it's not fun when you're like already a couple feet in the air and your foot goes in and you're not on the ground. So my body comes down. I just remember my back slams against the ground and I feel my ankle go click. And it doesn't move. It stays in the wall. And my shoulders are like on the ground, just barely holding me up. And I'm pretty much just like this. I'm a little fat guy just going, ah, and like I can't move. I'm stuck. My friends, because they're so nice, left. They seriously just left. They're like, we don't want to get in trouble. I'm like, whoa, like what? For real? They left me. So there I am, stuck in a wall. And I wait and wait and literally could not get myself out. I had sprained my ankle. It hurt too bad to even move it. And I'm just laying there like, this was the dumbest thing I'd ever done. Until in comes his parents. And here they come walking in to find a little chunky dude laying on the ground with his foot through the wall. And I'm just like, ah! I can't get up. Bad idea. And you know what? It all started because of peer pressure. But listen, when we talk about peer pressure, sometimes we automatically assume basically what I just said. There's two groups of people, right, when we talk about peer pressure. You got the goody-goodies over here, like I was, who's like, guys, we shouldn't do this. And then over here, you got the, in quotes, cool kids who like do the cool fun stuff that everybody likes and looks up to. And they're always like challenging other people, come do this. And for some reason in our head, the conversation always becomes those two groups of people. But as we study these passages tonight, I think we're going to see that Jesus and some other really awesome guys in the Bible are going to go, it's not really about the two different groups. Because both groups are kind of wrong. They're like, I was that kid who used peer pressure in a way that I made people feel guilty about things. And I tried to like bring shame on them. And I was just always like, ugh. Like kind of like a Pharisee. Like, I'm better than you guys. You shouldn't do that. And it was never out of a heart because I loved my friends. It was just kind of because, like, I was that person who's like, we're not going to do this. And we don't often think about that person being that way. But then on the other side, we got the people who are like, you know what? Let's not do anything we're told because it's more fun to just enjoy stuff. Who cares what our parents say? Who cares what our authorities say? Let's just have fun. And so both groups are being talked to tonight because we can use peer pressure for either extreme. We can be that pressure on people, or we can sit back and think one of those two groups is right and follow right along and give in. And so tonight, as we look at this, a couple different verses, keep in mind that you might be on either side just because you're like, I'm the goody-goody. Think about like where your heart is in that. Because if you were anything like me, it probably was the same type of peer pressure, just on the other extreme. And if you're that person tonight who's like, hey, listen, I'm definitely the one who doesn't care what anybody tells me. I just do my own thing. Jesus has a word for you tonight too. So as we talk about peer pressure, keep in mind that Jesus is looking at a much bigger topic than what sometimes we bring it down to. So Galatians 1:10, hopefully you're there by now. Galatians 1:10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ." Well, hold on a second. Here's Paul, and he's talking to some guys. These guys were his opponents in Galatia. Like, these guys were like getting on Paul because you know why? They were kind of like the goody-goodies. They were kind of like me. They were the guys saying, Paul, you're not preaching a strict enough gospel. What are you saying? Salvation is free? Like, Jesus is just going to die for us just like that? Like, you need to tell people that they need to follow the law. You need to tell people that they need to do everything that's right, that they need to keep all the commandments that they need to do, and they just list things. Keep the Sabbath holy. Paul, you're wrong. And so they were opponents to Paul because they're using this peer pressure trying to get Paul to say, hey, listen, go tell people it's about the law. And they need to act a certain way. And Paul's like, but Jesus already told me it's not. Jesus told me it's about his grace and forgiveness and love. But here's that negative peer pressure. And it looked really good because it was like a goody-goody peer pressure. They weren't like, hey, Paul, let's go like smoke weed together and go drinking. They were like, hey, let's mess up the gospel and make it look like it's a really good thing, but let's distort it. So be careful as you think about what peer pressure is tonight. And as we talk about this, think about what Jesus would say about it. So Paul says, in response to these guys that are attacking him, he says this, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God?" He basically looks back at him. He's like, am I trying to please you? Am I here on this earth doing what I'm doing, getting beaten and getting stones thrown at me and shipwrecked and whipped and put in jail and bit by rats and all these things? Am I doing that so that you look at me and go, oh, Paul, you're awesome? He said, is that the goal of this? That's the whole deal. Like, I'm suffering all this stuff just so that you guys think I'm cool? Like, there's some major peer pressure happening here among adults. Notice that. These aren't like junior high kids. It's the Apostle Paul and like Pharisees, priests. And there's still peer pressure happening. So don't think that once you leave junior high, all of a sudden the peer pressure stops. Because right now, today, I have peer pressure around me in my life. I bet your parents have peer pressure in their lives. Your grandparents experience it to some degree. We all do. And here's Paul, and these guys are trying to pressure him, and he looks back and says, I'm not doing what I'm doing to please you, am I? And that's a question I want us to stop and ask ourselves for a second. I want you to think about your friends, right? Because that's what we're talking about, relationships. Why do you do the things that you do? Why do you make the choices that you make or live the way you're living right now? Is it for your friends? Do you have these friends that are coming around trying to peer pressure you into doing crazy things or whatever it might be that are pushing you away from what you know is right? You know Christ would not be happy with these things your friends are telling you to do, but you know what? They're cool. Like, they're awesome. I want to hang out with them. I want them to like me. I want to be cooler. But when you do that, can you ask yourself that question? Am I doing this for my friends, for some man? Or am I doing this for God? What's more important to you? You see, as Paul faced this situation, he asked that the same exact question that I'm asking you to ask right now. Who are we doing it for? Who do you make your choices for? And he says next, If I were still trying to please man. Now stop right there for 1 second, because notice a word he uses. If I were still trying to please man. See that word still? Wait a minute. So you're saying, Paul, that previously you did, like you were trying to please man at one point? Because you're saying, if I were still doing it like I was before, when was Paul trying to please man? You guys remember from the story of Paul, from his life? Was he at any point doing this? Yeah. He's out killing Christians, throwing them in jail and stoning them and all these things. And he was doing it why? He hated Christians, and he had a group of people around him, these same guys who are coming up to him right now, who are going, look, this Jesus is a fake. Paul, you'll be more famous. Paul, you'll have more power. Paul, we will like you more if you go out and find these Christians and you beat them and you throw them in jail. Paul, do it. You hear their voices? You hear how they're trying to peer pressure Paul? And Paul's going, look, I used to live so you guys would think I was awesome. I literally killed people so that you guys would think I was awesome. He said, I used to do that, but if I were still trying to please you, to please man or my friends or my peers, he says this next, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. You know why that's not possible? Because you can't try to please man with all your heart and at the same time try to please God with all your heart. You can't do it. The Bible's clear. All through the Bible it talks about that. You need to choose. Remember we said the very first step in relationships was what? Keep God first. Keep God first. So if God is who you're trying to please and not man, then you'll be a servant of Christ. But we can also assume the opposite. If all you care about or is making like your friends think you're awesome or the guys on your sports team or the girls on your school, whatever, then you're a servant of them. See, if your goal is to please Christ, you're a servant of Christ. But if your goal is to just please your friends and people around you and get people to clap or love you more, think you're popular, then you're their slave. That's what he's saying. You're living in a way that makes you a slave to them because your identity, who you are, what you think about yourself, whether you think you're pretty girls or not, sometimes depends on what you think people say about you. That means you're making yourself a slave to them because you're beautiful and God's already told you that. But you're sitting here trying to listen to these people and saying, hey, you tell me how pretty I am. God's already told you you're beautiful in bigger ways than just physically. And guys, we do the same thing. There's so many ways that we try to go, hey, this is how I know I'm awesome. You see that touchdown I scored? You see that what I did on the field? You saw that joke I made? I got all my buddies to laugh. And if I can do that, then you know what? I'll feel good about myself. I'll think I'm worth it because everybody laughed at my joke. And we're making ourselves a slave to people. Stop for a second, because I'm not saying at all that you shouldn't love people and have fun with them and enjoy them and make jokes and have a good time. I'm not saying those things are bad. But when you live to say, hey, I'm awesome because of these things, you just made yourself a slave to those people. And Paul said, I am not a slave to these people. And if I were, then I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. If we really believe, like we said at the very first lesson of this thing, that God has to be first, then Paul is seconding that right here. Make God first. Be able to stand up one day and say, I live my life for God. I find my identity in God. So I'd rather be a slave to God than a slave to man because he's good. They're not. Because he created me, they didn't. Because he loves me enough to die for me, and they never would. Live for Christ. Find your identity and value in Christ, and be a slave to Jesus, not to man. That's what peer pressure does. It makes us a slave to men. And when we give into that, we willingly say, yeah, I'll be your servant to your friends. Not in a way that says, I'll serve you because Christ did, he served me. But in a way that says, I don't feel good about myself unless you feel good about me. God already feels good about you. God already loves you enough to die. The next verse I want to show you real quick is Luke chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus is actually speaking here. And he says, and he said to them, You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Why is it wrong that these guys are going around trying to make themselves look good in the eyes of other men? Why is that wrong? He says, because God knows your heart. You're using the wrong standard. I went golfing the other day with Justin and Caleb. Is Caleb in here? There he is. All right. Man, he's going to hear my story. All right. I'm going to make his head big. But we went golfing. Caleb is a really, really good golfer. I don't know if you knew that about Caleb or not, but that's why we golf with him. That and we love him because he's our buddy. But he took us out golfing, and we're what we thought was pretty good after like a couple rounds of golf. We're getting better. Golf is a very hard game. And so Justin's funny because Justin has this tendency to be able to hit water no matter where he is. It's like a superpower. Like he can hit. Do you have that superpower? It's amazing. It's like a magnetic ball. It's magnetic to water and it just goes. Every time he touches it, bloop, it's in water. So this one time we're golfing, one of the last times we went, and Justin hits the ball and just jumps up screaming and celebrating because it went like straight over the water and we're like, here he goes again. And we're laughing. Drops just on the other side right on dry land. And he's like, yes, finally, the first time my whole entire life ever in all of existence in eternity, I finally didn't hit water. And so he runs over, or golf carts over, because we're too fat to like run around. We just golf cart. At least I am. Caleb's skinny. So we drive over there. Justin gets out, and Caleb and I are just sitting back watching, and we're like, cool, he actually didn't hit the water. That's pretty sweet. And we're like chatting, and there's Justin. All of a sudden, we hear thunk, like that, like this big like thud. And I look over, and Justin had hit the ball toward the hole. Water's behind him, remember. He had already passed it. It goes up in the air and nails a palm tree. Boom. Bounces back over his head and splash. Right in the water. It was so great. I loved it. Now, listen, we quickly were like, you know what? Just when you think you're getting better at golf, you're like, I'm horrible. Caleb gets up next, hits the ball, and in like two shots, the dude is in the hole. And it's like, I hate you. No, I didn't say that. I love him. But you could clearly see that we weren't any better. Like, in our standards, because we were so bad, every little teeny inch, we're like, oh yeah, we're getting better now. Like, we're pretty good. We're getting all confident. Until Caleb hits the ball. And then you're like, we're not even in the same time zone of good as Caleb. Like, this guy's so awesome. We're terrible. We don't even deserve to use the word good in our golfing. But we had the wrong standard to judge by. We're using like a totally different standard for us than what we would say when we saw Caleb golf. Like, we would never say that after the dude hits the ball. Now, as Jesus is saying here, sometimes we do the same thing with our life, with our identity, with who we are. We think, hey, listen, you know, like I can be pretty good if these people over here think I'm awesome. And I'm going to work so hard to get these people to like me. And I'll do whatever it takes, even if it means doing things that dishonor God. It's okay as long as these people like me. We got the wrong standard. You're golfing with me and Justin when you do that. You see, God says, you're totally using the wrong standard completely. It's the wrong system because God doesn't look on the outside like these people do. He looks straight into your heart and knows you. He knit you together. He breathed life into you. He holds you together. And he loves you. And it's time for us to start using the standard that God uses. To start looking to God and say, Lord, in this world of peer pressure with media and songs and all these things around me, athletes and people I look up to and friends and school, there's just like so many influences that are constantly telling you stuff. Will you use God's standard? Will you value God the most because he knows who you really are? Other people could never know the things God knows about you. Use his standard. Look what he says the standard is. For what is exalted among men, the things that men think are awesome, is an abomination. It's disgusting in the sight of God. We could try so hard to please our friends or to please people, but in God's eyes, he's going to look down and go, that's not even my system. Like, that's horrible. Please me. Love me. Respond to me when I died for you. Don't run off trying to please other people because it's disgusting. It's the wrong standard. Know that God knows your heart and still loves you. He loves you. Now, you know that It's crazy because if you knew each other's hearts, you might not want to be sitting next to the person next to you. Like, think about the things in your heart, the secret, dark, dark places of your heart that nobody knows. It's so quiet there. Nobody knows the things that you've thought or seen or done. Certain things that you would be horrified if people knew about you. Imagine if the people in the room all knew that. What do you think? Like, would they want to be with you? Would they want to be near you? Would they want to be your friend? What if you knew things about other people that just, you're like, whoa. How would that change your heart toward them? See, God knows everything. God knows the worst we've done. The things that other people wouldn't even want to talk to us again because we've done. God knows that. And you know what? He still looked at you and said, I love you so much. In spite of that, I'm going to die for you. God didn't tuck tail and run the other way. He's like, I love you. I know everything you've done. I know your whole heart. And I still love you. That's someone you should be trying to please. Not some crazy friends that don't know any better than you. Follow Jesus. I don't care what anybody says to you or about you or what they think because you follow Christ. Following Jesus is going to pay off. Use His standard, the one who knows your heart. James 2:1 says this, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Now, we're talking a lot about peer pressure as it comes to you, but one thing I want as we close to mention is this. I want to remind you, this here says partiality. That word, does anyone know what partiality means? Yeah, kind of. All right. It's like playing favorites. It's like looking at people and playing favorites a certain way, judging people, looking at people and judging them physically and playing favorite one over the other. And what was happening in this time is that people were actually just like, I like you better because of this. And they were all physical reasons. And I'll treat you a certain way because of what you could do. And so James comes along and goes, don't do that. Stop judging people by their outside. So it's easy for us to say, hey, listen, don't give in to peer pressure. But sometimes we forget that we may be the people using peer pressure. We may be the people being the negative influence. You might not be the kid who's like, oh, I always give in to peer pressure. You might be the kid that's out pushing people. Stop. This verse literally just says, stop. You look at other people and judge them by what their hair looks like and by the clothes that they wear and the way they tell jokes or the way they talk. Stop. God knows their heart. And if you want to glorify something and make it look awesome, if you want to go, hey, you're cool and you're not, and be the judge of that, God says, look who the actual one who knows what glory is. Jesus. We don't even understand glory. We have no idea. But the God of all creation who created everything in all of its beauty and brilliance, He knows glory. He knows what's awesome. And we can't even fathom the tiniest bit of it. He knows glory. And the one that knows glory is the same one that put you together and that is telling you He loves you. As much glory as He knows, He's telling you how awesome you are because He made you and His Son died for you. Listen to Him. But don't just listen to Him. Tell others. Help others listen to Him. Don't be that person that goes around judging and playing favorites, looking at people by what they look like on the outside. Look at them with the eyes of Christ and love them and point them to God's glory. And the last verse I want to show you tonight as we close is Philippians 2:3 because I want you to see how Jesus was. As we study this whole deal, He's our best example. What was Jesus like when He dealt with other people? Philippians 2:3 says this, do nothing from selfish, you guys know what selfish means, right? Selfish ambition or conceit, like pride. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. This chapter in Philippians basically says, hey, this is the mindset of Jesus. If you want to know what to look like and how to like model your life, look at Jesus. And one of the things it mentions about Jesus' mindset and His character was this, humility and sacrifice. He was so humble that He was willing to sacrifice for other people. He didn't walk around judging He wasn't interested in pride or conceit or looking good or fitting into crowds. As a matter of fact, he didn't fit in. They nailed him to a cross, right? Doesn't sound like he was very popular. But he did it because he loves you. And that's how we should act. Be someone who says, I'm going to put other people before myself because Jesus did. And I'm going to help other people understand that too and look to Jesus. I have a quote I looked up. Charles Stanley, really cool guy. Charles Stanley, good. He loves Jesus a lot. He says this, people who constantly and fervently seek the approval of others live with an identity crisis. They don't know who they are, and they're defined by what others think of them. How do you guys find your value? Do you define yourself by what other people tell you or think about you? Because these verses tonight are very clear. You are a priceless child of God, and you need to set your eyes on Christ, not on what people say about you. And you need not to be a person who's going around judging people and using peer pressure against them. You need to be someone who's a good friend that says, hey, let me help you see how awesome you are in Jesus and how much he loves you. That'd be a good friend. All right. Will you pray with me? God, we love you and we thank you that you love us so much. Lord, that we're here together as a family. We could sit here and read your word and hear your words to us as you tell us, I love you enough to die. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts that don't judge people on the outside, but Lord, that we would love people enough to put them before ourselves and that we would constantly be pointing other people to you. God, I pray if there's somebody in this room whose heart is just hurting and aching because people are mean to them, people break their heart every day. God, I pray that tonight that they would be able to talk to you and find freedom from that slavery. God, that they would find their identity in Jesus. And Lord, I pray that if we are those people being so mean to others, God, that you change us. Help us to see people the way you see them and to love them the way you love them. It's in Christ's precious name that we pray tonight. Amen.